The man who sends the investor class diving for their tax shelters. Vic Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. So on Wednesday, the Donald tweeted out that he was thrilled that Foxconn, you've heard about Foxconn, the company that had to install safety nets in the stairwells to stop their workers from jumping to their deaths and committing suicide because the working conditions were so horrible that the plunge was the only way out. Yeah, that company, Foxconn. He tweeted out that he was thrilled that Foxconn was going to spend $10 billion bringing jobs to Wisconsin. A good payback to Scott Walker. Now, here's the thing. This is the and maybe it's just me. It's been years since I've taken math, and maybe it's my economics courses are a little rusty. But $10 billion is the investment, $3 billion of which is going to come from the taxpayers of Wisconsin. And the claim is that they're going to create maybe 3,000 jobs. Now, again, the math, a little rusty, but that's like $1 million a job, isn't it? And wouldn't it be easier just to give 3,000 people $1 million and say, hooray, you won? And wouldn't that be easier? It's just mind-blowing to me. Anyway, here to talk about this, the economy, the jobs, the numbers, all of that, our good friend Mateus Vernengo, professor of economics there at Bucknell University, also a fantastic blogger over at nakedkeynesianism.blogspot.com. Mateus, thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you for having me, Rick.
So $10 billion investment, and 30% of it's got to come from the taxpayers of Wisconsin. Is that a good deal?
No, it doesn't seem to be a good deal. And in all fairness, all of the deals that he was sort of, very happy to announce so far, that they're all like this. They're sort of big tax breaks to corporations. But, the worst part is not even that this is, makes no sense, is that it's not even clear it will happen. It seems very reasonable to assume that Foxconn says they want to do this, and they may say they want to do several things, but whether they're going to actually open a factory or not will depend on how they see the prospects for the future of the American economy. And as you said, the numbers are out, and he had promised 5% growth or whatever it was, and we have 2.6 in the second quarter, revised down the first quarter to 1.2, so we have still a slow recovery. Nothing indicates that growth was going to accelerate at any, significant pace, as he promised he would do. We'll have a magnificent economy, he knows how to do this, that, and the other. So I don't even think it will happen. It's a bad deal, but probably won't happen anyway. So that's not the path for reindustrializing, for bringing good jobs. And as you said, if the good jobs come on the basis of awful subsidies, there's little to be gained for society as a whole.
Yeah, but the reason I bring this up, why I think this story is so important, is this is the Republican ideology. I mean, the idea that you're going to give huge tax breaks to corporations. We're going to play this beggar thy neighbor economic development of winners and losers. And it's all the privatized game. I mean, because infrastructure is coming up and we're going to see a lot of the same kind of bad schemes like this, where the investors, the big money people win out, and it's the taxpayers who end up getting screwed.
Yeah, no, and you're right that also, it's good that you said at the beginning that this is Foxconn, the company that got famous with, that there was a book about these factory girls, about, supposedly these were the good jobs there back in China, and all of these girls moving from rural areas, and they have to put nets to preclude them from jumping and committing suicide because, the conditions were so awful. And the reason is that this shows sort of, as you said, the ideology, the idea of what bringing jobs back actually implies. The idea is that it's any kind of job. These are not good jobs. They want people in Wisconsin to have awful jobs. That's the message. So no protect. I mean, it's in Wisconsin where they've been cutting all sorts of protections to workers and whatnot. You know, so the idea is, yeah, it became a right to work state and so on and so forth. So the idea is they're not going to pay well. Supposedly they can, you know, these jobs, you know, that you should bring should be high paying jobs. But the whole ideology is to still maintain workers with no bargaining power. So these are not particularly good jobs. These are, you know, we're robbing, you know, with tax incentives, like as if we are tax havens, the bad jobs the Chinese have. So this is not a model for the future and for prosperity.
Now, according to Governor Scott Walker, these jobs are going to pay average, going to be $53,000 a year. These are, according to them, these are going to be great jobs. And it's
well, you know, again, as I said, this is all in paper. So in paper, they can say whatever they want.
I know.
But we'll see if they materialize. So we should meet, you know, in 2 years, we'll talk again, you know,
right.
Whether they're going to. I'm very skeptical that anything will materialize from this sort of thing. But the other thing is, you know, think, why would people invest? Why firms actually invest? Firms invest because they have demand for their products, and the economy is growing and it's doing well and so on and so forth. And for that, you know, healthy economy depends on people, you know, the way our society is sort of organized, depends on people having decent jobs, good wages, and being capable of going out and spending money. And that's not what we have had, in all fairness, you know, in a long time. So we have had two bubbles over the last 20 years that have fueled consumption. We have too much accumulation of debt. There is no changing of that model, no significant sort of certainty, not from the Republican Party, notion that we're going to change the way we do things. So people are over-indebted, incapable of actually improving, you know, their condition and hence spending. And hence, there is very little reason for a company like Foxconn to put their factories here, unless we decide that we are going to be like a third world country, that we pay very little, and so this is just a base to export somewhere else.
Right.
But that makes little sense. You see, the U.S. is the biggest market, still is, you know, for good or for bad. You know, 25% of the world consumption is here. So it's not viable for the U.S. as a strategy. So it's incoherent at best, which is not surprising given this administration. So the fact that he doesn't have a coherent argument of, you know, on how to move forward is not particularly surprising.
Yeah, but, you know, here's my thought. When I first saw it and I read through the story, I'm going, you know, 3,000 jobs seems like a lot, because I got to assume that a good portion of these jobs are going to be automated. That, you know, I look at some of the warehouses where I live that Amazon has, and, you know, they're automated mostly. There aren't a lot of jobs. I mean, the idea of labor-intensive manufacturing is going away, and the idea of, you know, highly skilled, you know, computer people running huge factories with a handful of workers is the future.
Yeah, sure. That's absolutely true. The point is that the way to attract those things, you know, and do those things is not through tax cut deals with, you know, with foreign companies willing to bring money here. It's spending on research and development, promoting investment in infrastructure, you know, doing a comprehensive plan exactly to train the people that will get those good jobs that you just described. So, you know,
it's interesting that you say that. I mean, it's interesting
what?
That you say that, you know, education, research and development, all of that stuff. They're giving, they're on paper so far, what they're saying is they're going to give $3 billion to this Foxconn company to bring this factory there, while simultaneously cutting a ton of money to the University of Wisconsin and education in the state. So
exactly.
It seems like they're
That's
doing
the
everything
point.
Backwards.
Exactly. They're privatizing, you know, to the extent that they can. The model is to privatize education. You know, I read the other day, you know, he's cutting in his budget, I don't remember the number, so don't quote me on this, but it's something absurd, like $9 billion from probably from the education department, but he's donating his salary to the education department, you know, which is the trifle, so it doesn't cover, you know, what he's cutting. So all of those things are backwards, and they do not tend to promote exactly what I'm saying. You know, you want this. If you do a bill, you spend on education, and people do get the good jobs, and also are not heavily indebted with their education, they can go out and, you know, consume the stuff that the factories are producing on top of having the decent jobs and whatnot. And that's the model of development, you know, one that goes and moves everything forward and, you know, in and better society overall. But, you know, this is not it. This is we're trying to beat China. So we're beating China by becoming, you know, the Chinese economy, which, you know, don't get me wrong, there are lots of commendable things that China has done, and it's been growing fast and so on and so forth from, you know, the point of view of their population. But it's not a model for the U.S., you know, low wages and low taxes to attract foreign investment. That's not a model of development for the U.S. economy. That makes no sense.
I absolutely agree with you. Let me ask you, I wanted to ask you on the other side of this. You know, the report this week came out that the Fed, Yellen said that they're not going to raise interest rates. Is this the right move?
Yeah, that's fine. The two things is they said they're not moving now. It's unclear whether they're going to still hike it later this year. I'm skeptical, but, you know, the notion, I think, is still that they might do it once more this year. Still not much, but probably that will happen. And the big story, I think, is that they say they're going to start to unwind the big sort of liability, the assets, you know, that the Fed has, so $4.5 trillion or so. So that basically translating that, what it means is there's a lot of money in the market. They're going to, you know, mop a little bit of that liquidity, and long term interest rates will go up a little bit. So they're acting not just on the low end of the spectrum, the short term rate, but also on the long-term rate. So there is a general move that interest rates will go up a little bit. Whether that will happen or not, again, it all depends on how well the economy does. So they're assuming, and that's the Fed's sort of discourse at this point, that the economy is recovering and it's doing well, and so, you know, we have danger of inflation, and hence interest rates have to go up. I I'm skeptical of that. I don't think that the economy has done that well. I think that there is no serious risk of inflation. So the risk of inflation will come from a labor market that is too tight and wages are really going to go up. I don't think that that's the case. I think we still have ways to go in order to improve the labor market. As you know, even if unemployment is relatively low, we have lots of discouraged people. So you know, we're not at that point yet. And also, you know, prices of commodities and oil and stuff like that. But also, that can happen, but I don't see inflation going up really, and I don't see the American economy recovering very fast. Also, I don't see the global economy doing particularly well. Janet Yellen seemed relatively upbeat about the fact that the global economy seems to be growing. I think that there are lots of problems in Europe, in the periphery, in Latin America, in Africa, even in China, that it's growing less. So all of those indicate to me that it's unlikely that interest rates could go, even if they wanted, much higher than they are right now. And that actually, I think that there are many, many dangers that may throw us into a recession at some point. And so I think that it is probably too soon, even though it's been, whatever, we're getting close to 10 years from the crisis. Next year, we're 10 years from the global crisis. It's been a very, very slow and not particularly good recovery, and I don't see big changes in that. I should say also that Trump has been signaling that he may sort of also not reappoint Yellen next year, and that adds to the whole uncertainty about what will happen with the economy.
Yeah, I see someone who if he does appoint someone else, someone who would raise interest rates. Do you?
Well, that sort of, you know, so people have talked about Gary Kahn, his economic advisor, that he would be more hawkish, and that he may actually do that. And again, if he does that in an environment as we are, that might be the thing that does that throws us into recession. I mean, he has shown that he is capable of acting on a whim and changing things, you know, tweeting, you know, to distract, you know, people from discussions of health or whatever it is, you know, about LGBT, you know, community out of the arms. So he does think that at the spur of the moment, God knows what, you know, so which is not ideal for the economy. So and he's also very in terms of this incoherent, as I said. So you know, he wants higher interest rates, he wants a devalued dollar. Those things don't necessarily go together. So he's in, you know, in many directions at the same time, so it's possible, and I think it's concerning that we have that kind of stuff in an economy that it's not doing that well. So
right. No, I mean, it's scary times ahead. I mean, if you look at just how dysfunctional this White House is, imagine, you know, that kind of dysfunction going in somewhere like the Federal Reserve. It's just, it's scary stuff. Mateus, I appreciate you taking some time for us, sharing your thoughts, your expertise. Look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you.
As always, our good friend, Mateus Fernando. Check out his website, nakedkeynesianism.blogspot.com. We'll get a link at therickSmithShow.com. Quick break. Right back. Stick around. This is The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Controversial, thought-provoking, opinionated. Rick Smith.